everybody and for everyone tonight. Thank God for my wife. I think it's a reverb on. Thank God for my wife, life, and health and strength. Thank God for the miracles that He's performing in people's lives, miracles of healing, miracles of deliverance. Amen. We thank God for all those that came out to the cookout and got a chance to run. Lord, have the rain off just in time. But boy, when He let it come down, let it come down. Amen. So we just thank God for all that He's doing. And most of all, we bless and thank God for what we know He's going to do. We thank God that there is no God like our God. How many have a testimony? No God like our God. Amen. Tonight, not this Sunday, previous Sunday, we went over this world's not my home. This past Sunday, we went over war. I want to see Him and look upon His face. So I would say if we have a theme for our services is to try to develop a true, real, sincere relationship with God. Amen. Not just going through the motions, not just having what we're going to go with tonight, not having an abstract relationship. Abstract. We're going to tell a little further. Let us stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from the 17th chapter of Acts. We're going to read verses 22 through 30 together. Amen? Now, don't let the heat slow you down. Amen. God is good anyhow. And we bless the Lord. Amen. I'm glad that our heating bill is almost a quarter of what it was in the wintertime, so I'm glad for the heat. Amen. You turn on fans. Fans don't cost as much as one as... If you just imagine most of your houses will fit in here 10 times of whatever your utility bill was, you can multiply for this one, amen? So I'm glad for the heat. Lord, let it come 12 months out of the year, and I won't complain. Amen? Y'all ain't got to bring amen out of it. I know it's hard to say amen when you're high, right? Amen. I guess I could have. Now, we have a debate. Sometimes we can turn on the air conditioning, but there were some people that came in tonight that were cold. I don't use no name, but yes, some people were cold, so I think we just go with the fans, right? And hopefully that'll keep everybody happy, amen? Now, for those of us in the dark, it's all right. But people that are light, when the heat hits, it tells on you. All right, that's good. Not that funny? Okay. All right. Sometimes I look at little Zoe, it's like, Zoe, where'd you come from? She's all red. Amen. But nevertheless, Acts the 17th chapter. Do we all have it? Amen. We'll read verses 22 through 30 together. Amen. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is
Lord of heaven and earth.
Just a minute. They say God is the what? Lord of
heaven and earth.
And Jesus is also Lord. God is the Lord of heaven and earth. And Jesus is the Lord. And Deuteronomy 6:4 says, behold, Israel, the Lord our God is. So it sounds like to me that the Lord has to be Jesus. Jesus has to be the Lord, so Jesus has to also be no charge. Alright, but if you go over to Hebrews, it says that all things were made by Jesus, and without Him was not anything made that was made. But this scripture says that God made
the
world. Wait a minute, how many worlds we got now?
One.
Right, you see how God in His wisdom is? If God You know there's only
one.
Right, so y'all can put that in y'all little stack pack and study that later. Amen. Seeing that he is Lord of dwelt not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though he needeth anything, seeing he giveth all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the one blood for all nations of men to dwell where?
On the face of the earth.
So why did God all enlarge kind of my life? Just read the Bible. It tells you where they're going to be found at on the
earth.
On the earth. They can say billions and billions of dollars. Just read the Bible. Right? And then we'll let them know. I believe Isaiah the 40th chapter says that God sitteth on the circle of the earth. Right? So how do you have to send all these explorers and people out trying to find out if the earth was square around? All they have to do is read the Bible. Because if it's on a circle, every circle is what? Right? Alright, y'all go there and snap that too. Let's keep going. Alright, so verse 26 says, and hath made of all nations, made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth. And has he turned the time before appointed, and the bound of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. In the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word, and the church said,
Lord.
Amen. You may be seated. So tonight, we're dealing with overcoming an abstract relationship with God. When you think of abstract, I don't know if Minister Simon remembered, we went on a little journey years ago up to Woodstock. I don't know if you remember this. And when we went up to Woodstock, Woodstock is kind of different. Has anybody been to Woodstock before? Woodstock is quite different. So when we entered Woodstock, Minister Simon said, "Dad, what is that?" I said, "That's abstract artifacts." He's like, "Well, what is it?" "I don't know what it is." And as we got into town, there was more abstract stuff. He's like, "Are we still in America?" Now this is true story, right? Because his stuff was abstract. So to the normal mind, it didn't make a lot of sense. But to the creator of the abstract, it made sense. You know, some of that abstract stuff goes for millions of dollars. Amen. You have to like, what? We said, what does it say? What does it mean? So the more we went into the city, he's like, it was a few of us. He's like, we're not going to be here long. Abstract. So when something is abstract, it has value to the individual. But as a whole, it doesn't make sense. Right? When you look at it, it doesn't add up. So when something is abstract, to be abstract means it's detached. It pulls away. It's not a part of the norm. It is different. So an abstract relationship with God will have value to the individual, but it won't make sense to others. Well, Paul is going through Athens, and he's beholding their worship. And he said, "You all have a different type of worship. You're worshiping unknown gods. He said, I perceive in all this you're too superstitious. When something is abstract, it has value to the individual, but it's not necessarily in God's plan. Abstract, it has value. You know, you ever see a lot of people say, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, I got Jesus on my side, and I'm running for my life. Then you see it with the little ball in the hands, cigarettes, in bars, and the hey, what happened to your Holy Ghost fire? What happened to your salvation? They say, you cannot judge my relationship with the Lord. That is an abstract relationship. You know what makes it abstract? It's not normal. It's not according to the word of God. So an abstract relationship pleases the individual, but an abstract relationship does not please God. Abstract. That's what Paul said, that I may. Paul wanted to know God in a more perfect way. When Aquila and Priscilla found Apollos, the Bible says he was learned in the scripture. He was mighty in the scripture. He was fervent. And he was a mighty believer. But he did not know the way of God more perfectly. So they took him aside and expounded to him the way of God more perfectly because his relationship with God was abstract. It wasn't normal. It did not fit the pattern. Well, what is the challenge to overcoming an abstract relationship? You know, an abstract, you ever see something? Now, these are indications when someone has an abstract relationship. Say, well, I know I'm wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's abstract. Right? Because the Bible says we're not supposed to do things to please ourselves, but we are to do things to please who? To please God. So when it's abstract, to be abstract means detached from the norm, right? To be abstract means to pull away from what is normal. Well, why do you pull away? Because I don't think. Well, the Bible says when a man thinketh a thing, he what? Knoweth it not yet as he. So an abstract relationship with God is based on personal opinions. Amen? An abstract relationship. Y'all pray with me? Good. I'm going to have this story. Actually, I don't know if I stopped sweating being up on that roof today. Joe, that roof was so high, I had to stand on cardboard. I think that's why I hurt, but I had to couldn't stand still. That roof was too hot. Man, that roof was hot. It's like, wow. It seemed like somebody had put some fire on that roof. Well, an abstract relationship is based on personal opinion, right? And that's why sometimes you want to say, how come there's so many different ways of serving God? Because people are not following God's word. They have to interpret it in God's word their own way. With that being said, let's go to Romans chapter 9. An abstract relationship. But before we go to 9, let's go back here. Let me read something, verses 27 through 30 again of Acts 17. Then we'll go to Romans 9. So what we are focusing on is developing a real relationship with God. Not based on what we feel or think, but our relationship with God should be based on God's word. Jesus said, if you love me, then do what? Keep my commandments. If you love me, he says, keep my commandments. And then John says that his commandments are not grievous. But when we want to have an abstract relationship, we twist the commandments, right? And the commandments no longer have the true effect, so I'm not going to go there because we're going to get off course. But let's go to this. Then, if the Lord leads, we'll go to what just came, but I don't know if we go there. All right. Verse 27 said, that they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Now remember this, Job said, oh, that I knew where I might. Well, how do you like to find someone that's everywhere? That's when your relationship becomes abstract. Well, what makes relationship with God become abstract? Trials and tribulations. When you're going through, and sometimes it's hard to see God for seeing the trial. Amen? Verse 28 says, for in him we, listen, everything we have. So I'll say, all that I am or ever hope to be, Yahweh, all to thee, to God be the Lord. For in him we live. In him we move. In him we have our being. Get that, you know what I mean? Without God, we would be absolutely nothing. We live in him. We move in him. We have our being. Our very breath of life comes from who? God. So Paul, he said, that relationship is abstract. That's not in line with God and his word. You're putting your own personal spin on salvation. In verse 29 says, for as much then as we are the what? Offspring, then we are God's children. I don't care how you got here. Yes, we all have our mothers and fathers, but he said, without me, you can do nothing. We are all here tonight because of God's grace and God's mercy. We ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto, don't think it's abstract, it's not gold, it's not silver, it's not stone, graven by art and man's. Your salvation is too real to be saved based on what a man says, if it's contrary to God's word. Salvation is too important. You know, we like not to make mistakes. Those of us that are blessed to be in a position to have stocks, if we're going to invest our money in stocks, we don't want to take chances. Right? If we're going to invest in stock, we're going to invest in a sure stock that's going to yield true dividends. We don't want to take, how do we take chances with our soul? How do we go day in and day out without, when we lay our heads down at night, I don't dare lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul. But you got to be right when you lay down. So if you die when you're wrong, how can God take your soul when you are in an abstract relationship? It can't be based on what man says. Right? I got to go to this. Let's go to Mark chapter 7 because it's so important. We're dealing with abstract and we're dealing with doing the things that are pleasing to God. I know you don't have this, Shaira, but go to Mark chapter 7. We're going to go over some of the things that Jesus had to deal with and dealing with the religious people that were doing things according to the commandments and tradition of men, but they were not doing what was right in the eyes of God. Amen? Verse 1 of Mark chapter 7. Now, what are we talking about tonight? We're talking about a true relationship. All right? My relationship, I don't have no doubt. I don't question it. Amen. I'm not trying to figure out a way to get around it. I just want to do the things that are pleasing in his. Jesus' greatest command, greatest testimony that he had when he was on earth. He said, I do always the things that please. That's a real relationship. That's not abstract. That's not based on anybody but God. Amen. But verse 1 read, then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hand, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the they're holding what? Tradition. And we're talking about abstract real. Remember this. And when they come from the market, except they wash their hands, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold after washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the traditions? See, they were all wrapped up in the traditions. They were not following God with their heart. Their whole idea of serving God was based on what they were doing outward. Right? But they weren't concerned with what was going on the inside. Verse 6, and he answered said unto them, well has Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. Right? This is what the Lord said. As it is written, this people honor me with their abstract. They don't have no real relationship. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are. That's abstract. You know, we talk salvation, but we don't walk salvation. We just talk about all that God is, right? They honor me with their lips, but he said their hearts are where? Far from me. And when you honor God with your lips, it's always about what you want and your desires. But when you do it from the heart, we can say willingly, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Said, how be it in vain? See, you worship me in what? Vain. Well, because the Bible said, the Father seek those to worship him in spirit and in truth. So when you have an abstract relationship with God, that is not in spirit and is not in truth. So the Lord said, even though that were they worshiping? Yes. But he says, in vain they do, they worship me in vain. Yes, they come to church, they're doing everything. He said, but it's just to be seen of men. Amen. Teaching for doctrines, the commandment of men. So an abstract relationship is not based on God and what he teaches, but it's based on what man teaches. God, if Jesus said it, how many know if Jesus said something, you pretty much can think on that all the way. He said, in vain do they, you worship me in vain. Amen. But said, for that time is, the hour has come when the true worshipers shall worship the Lord in spirit, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Tonight, an abstract relationship is that, Lord, whatever you say, I'll do it. Lord, I won't place demand. I won't place stipulations. I'm not going to resist the counsel of your will. I'm going to submit. I'm going to surrender. An abstract relationship fights God. And we'll get to that in a minute if time permits. An abstract relationship fights God and his will based on the commandments of men. Amen. For laying aside the commandments of God, wait a minute. You did what? You laid God's commandments aside? Why? Because you're honoring your traditions. You're following man's commandments. Amen. If Jesus is teaching this, it is true. Amen. For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God that ye may keep your own. He said, it's all about what you want to do. We've done this for years. He said, you're rejecting God's commandments to keep your tradition. Let me skip down to verse, so I can get to the, go down to verse 13. Okay, so then we talk about an abstract relationship follows man's commandment. A real relationship follows God's commandment. Amen? An abstract relationship. They hold to the traditions. And when you hold to the traditions, you have to make a choice between God and God's word and the tradition. He said, you reject, throw my commandments aside that you may hold to your tradition. What verse 13 says, making the word of God the word of God doesn't have any effect in your life. Why? Because of your traditions. Amen. So it's so important tonight. He says in verse 16, if any man have ears, let him what? Hear. An abstract relationship always has an ear to hear from God. Right? An abstract relationship doesn't get confused or get troubled by what man is teaching. Today in the church world, we have a mess going on because there are so many doctrines that are not scriptural. There's so much teaching that is not scriptural. And they are actually fighting against God. And I think it's Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse 10 said, God, go to Hebrews 6, 10 for 1 minute. You can't go? Well, yeah, can sit down? All right, that's right. Go to Hebrews 6, 10. Right, and it says, for God is not what? Unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love that you show towards his name, in that ye do minister and have ministered unto the saints. Amen. Who's not unrighteous? God is not unrighteous. So we're dealing with the righteousness of God, right? God is not what? It means you can't find fault with God because God is not unrighteous. Now Romans chapter 9, we're going to read verses 14 through 21. Amen. We're dealing with what kind of relationship? An abstract relationship with God. Amen? Do we all have it? I'll wait for you all to get it. This is on the screen. Verse 14 reads, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with? We just read that God is not
unrighteous.
So it says, is there unrighteousness with God? God does not have motives. God is not malicious. Amen. There is no unrighteousness. God does not do anything that will hurt or harm us. There is no unrighteousness with who? With God. Verse 15 said, for he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture says unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared through all the earth. Therefore he had mercy on whom he has mercy, whom he willeth he pardon. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? And we're going to read about Job. Job said God found fault. He said, why does he yet find fault? God doesn't find fault. God didn't die for us to be in misery. God didn't die for us to be troubled. He died for us to be saved. But the devil, when he gets involved, will make you point a finger of accusation against God as though he's picking on you, and that there, as though there is unrighteousness in God. Amen? He said, who has resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that replies against God? He said, why are you arguing? Why are you debating? Why are you fighting with God? Because the relationship is abstract. Right? That relationship is not real. Because when you have a real relationship with the Lord, is what the scripture said. God said, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk in. So if we walk right, God will not withhold anything from us. Right? So a lot of times we're like, well, Lord, what happened to my life? How are you walking? How are you walking? Think about it. How are you walking? Are you walking in God's counsel and his will to obey him with a true relationship? Or is it abstract? Because it's this God's word that he will withhold no good thing to them walking how? Tonight, the biggest question, how are we walking? Not you, but us. Amen. Are we walking to please God? He said, well, why are you fighting against God? Why are you replying against God? You know, sometimes things don't go right. I was thinking the other day in that movie, Courageous. What's his name, Javier? Remember Javier in the movie, Courageous? He thought he had a job. He went running out to the job. And even him and the family was all excited. He got to the job. He said, we hired somebody else. So Javier, Javier leaving the job. He's just fussing at God and all upset. And the guy said, Javier, what are you doing out there? Get in here, let's work. He was a wrong Javier. But God don't make mistakes. Because no good thing was able to open them and walk in. So it might be somebody else that had your name that's supposed to be at the job. But God will work it out for you. Because God is, there's no unrighteousness in God. And a lot of times God permits us to go through situations and trials and tests to see what is in us. Amen. So what replies against God? Shall a thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me? And that certain relationship with God questions God. And that certain relationship challenges God. I thought, you know, that's like, God, what are you up to? I mean, yeah, everybody ever think that? Like, oh, I'm doing everything you said. Now, what are you doing? As though we're finding fault with God. Amen. Let's go to Job, the 33rd chapter. The 33rd chapter of Job. And we're going to go to verse 6 of Job 33rd chapter. Now, an abstract relationship, remember, fights God. An abstract relationship resists God. Even though we may know his will, we place more preeminence on what we want or desire. An abstract relationship fights God. It resists God. It questions God. Why this and why that? Amen. Instead of saying, Lord, wherever you lead me, I'll follow. Lord, whatever you have for me, I will really willingly surrender. Remember, all it takes for God to do is to speak the word, and he can change your whole situation around. But you have to walk upright, not your righteousness. Paul said, and I want to be found in him not with my own righteousness, but the righteousness of God, which is through faith. Not my own righteousness. Job 33:6 reads, behold, this is Elihu, when all of his friends, Job's friends, couldn't properly answer him. Elihu said, behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I also am formed out of the clay. Behold, my terror shall not make me afraid, neither shall mine hand be heavy upon thee. Surely thou hast spoken in my hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy word saying, I am clean without. This is Job. Job is elevating himself, but he's bringing God down. He said, I am clean without transgression. He said, I am innocent. Neither is there iniquity. And the Bible said there is none righteous. No, not one. Amen. But hardships and trials can bring out stuff in you that you don't even know is there. God permitted Job to go through this trial because there was some stuff down in Job that he didn't even know was there. And God wanted to manifest it so his relationship would be more pure with him. Amen. Verse 10 says, behold, he me is, wait a minute, what are we talking about? God? Right? Don't allow your circumstances, don't allow your trials, don't allow your tests to make you point a finger at the issue of God. How does God count us as his enemy when he came and died that we might have life? Right? But when you're going through the hardships and the trials, it has a way of bringing out the word. Job said, God is counting me as his. That's abstract. That has no substance, no form to that, amen. He counted me as his enemy. Job goes on to say, he putteth my feet in the stock. He maketh, he marketh all my paths. He says, behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than me. Job had elevated his mindset to the point that he felt as though he was greater than. That's abstract. That has no form. That has no shape. Amen. Why dost thou strive against him? Now, when you're striving against God, that means you are fighting against God. So he asks, why are thou striving against him? Because everything was that done. Like, even everything. The light of the lesser at all. I don't know how to speak. Let's come out and speak this way. We just keep on. We almost finished anyway. Alright, so when you don't have an abstract relationship, you fight against God. Say, why was I striving against him? When he gives God a count of any of his, God does not have to explain to us why he does what he does. Thank you. God doesn't have to give us a count of any of that. Amen. God does what he does for a purpose and for a reason. But an abstract relationship fights God. They resist God. Remember we read Paul saying, who has resisted the counsel of his will? When you begin to do what you want to do, you are doing what? You are resisting God. Amen? Verse 14 says, for God speaketh one, yea, twice, to all that you've been going through, God has been speaking. But he said, but man what? They don't understand that God has been speaking because the relationship is too abstract. Amen? Verse 15 says, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men and slumbering upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth the instruction. Well, why did God allow men to go through this? To withdraw man from his purpose. And not only is he going to withdraw man from his purpose, he's going to hide pride from man. But an abstract relationship fights with God. An abstract relationship resists the counsel of his will. Amen. Well, that's good enough tonight, because I think we're all kind of distracted. You got it back? All right, then. Can I get 5 minutes? Yeah. 5 minutes. You know, you're not a devil. When you got something, you're going to get somebody on the right path. He's going to let it go easy. He's going to fight. What we're talking about tonight, how many of us want to be just real before God? Listen, don't question God in your mind. There are many things that we don't understand. The Bible says that God is omniscient. Omniscient means what? All knowing. There's not a man alive that's omniscient. Right? Only God knows the end from the beginning. Alright? So, in God's omniscience, because he loves us, and because we are finite and limited, God allows us to go through trials and tests to reveal an inner part of us, that he may withdraw us from our purpose and hide pride. How many know pride is a mean thing? Pride is mean. Pride will kill you. Amen. The Bible says that pride goes before destruction. Pride will bring you down. God knows, listen, there's pride in everybody living. I don't care who they are. I don't care how humble you are. You're not pride. Right? Let somebody tell you off in front of somebody. What are you going to do? You're just going to walk away, right? That's what pride says. I'm serious. Let somebody tell you off. Everybody's looking at you. You're going to turn around and walk away, right? If your pride is moving, guess what you're going to do? Right? You're going to respond back, right? You're going to move. You say, how does this keep happening to me? Because God's trying to bring you yourself. How does this keep happening over and over? God is trying to withdraw you from your purpose and what you want. He said, God, why are you doing this? He said, because I'm trying to hide pride far from you. You don't know it's in there. Now, Job didn't even know this was in him. Job is fighting God. Why? He said, what? How are you fighting God? All right, now let's go to Job, the 35th chapter. All right? And this is still Elihu. Elihu reasons with Job from chapter, I believe, 33 all the way up to chapter 38. Five chapters. Trying to get Job to stop being self-righteous. God said Job was perfect. But guess what? Job's test revealed something in Job that no one knew but God. God allows us to go through stuff to show what's in us so that our relationship is not abstract. Right? Because when your relationship is abstract, people say, this thing. Y'all ever look at somebody say, they say? Y'all ever did that? Well, I did. They say they go all that, say this, and that. You ever see people that tell somebody off and they use those wrong words? And they say it? Yep. Y'all got the wrong words, all right? When they say, that stuff is seriously abstract. Because you know there's nowhere in God. Alright? So we're trying to be seriously real with God. Verse 1 of Job 35 says, Elihu spake moreover and said, thinkest thou this to be right, that thou sayest my righteousness is God have mercy. Anybody think they're more righteous than God? Job tried. Was revealing something in Job that not even Job knew it. Even while he's going through it, he still doesn't get it. So Job is reasoning. I mean, Elihu's reasoning with Job. He said, wait a minute. Job, you said that you are more righteous. That's abstract. They don't have no shape. They don't have no form. How can anybody be more righteous than God? Amen. He said, you said that my righteousness is more than God, for thou sayest, what advantage will it be unto thee, or what profit shall I have if I be cleansed from my... He said, it don't make a difference whether I sin or not. And Elijah said, Job, that can't be you speaking. Your trial, my trials, can show stuff in us that will shock us. And while you're going through it, you don't see it. Because the relationship is too abstract. You're doing it based on your opinion, based on your feeling, based on what people are saying, and you forgot about God. That's too abstract. Amen. He said, I will ask thee and thy companions with thee. He said, it is wrong. Amen. Now let's go to Job 34, and then we'll go to Job 42, and I'll go fast enough to finish in 5 minutes. Job 34 says, verse 1, furthermore, Elihu answered and said, hear my words, O ye wise men, and give ear unto me, ye that have knowledge. For the ear tries words as the mouth tastes meat. Let us choose us judgment. Let us know among ourselves what is good. For Job has said, I am righteous, and God has taken away my This means what is right, just. He said, I'm righteous, but God is acting unrighteous. Abstract. Because we read there's no unrighteousness in God. But Job is, when you're really in, when you're really going through, don't forget about who God is. Don't allow your trial to bring out the red, worse in you. He said, should I lie against my right? My wound is incurable without transgression. What man is like Job, who drinketh up scorning like water, which goeth in company with the workers of iniquity, and walketh with wicked men? For he has said, it profiteth a man nothing that he should invite himself. You really going through when you said, you know what he's saying? It don't make a difference if I swear to God or not. It's just a waste of time. Abstract. That's not real. Why? Because the trial, you forget about who God is. Don't ever forget God in the midst of your situation. Always keep God on board. He said, therefore, hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness. God will never do wickedness. God will always do what is right. And from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity? You mean they got to the point that they're saying that God is wicked and God commits iniquity? Why? The relationship has faded. The relationship with God wasn't where it should be. For the work of a man shall be written unto him and cause every man to find according to his way. Go down to verse 35. It says, Job has, in the same chapter, 34th chapter, verse 35, Job has spoken without knowledge, and his words were without keep God involved. Don't speak foolishly. Amen. My desire is that Job may be tried unto the end because of his answer for wicked men. For he added, when you're fighting God, when you're striving against God, now you want to add rebellion to sin. He clapped his hand among us and multiplies his words. That's abstract. Don't fight God. Amen. Now let's close in Job 42. Now, they're going through all this trying to help Job see himself. Did Job see himself? It took a long time. You know why? Because Job had become self-righteous. Job said, my righteousness is greater than God. Brothers and sisters, don't ever allow yourself to get to that point. When you say, doesn't matter if I do good or whether I do right, God ain't going to help me anyway. You know, people speak foolishly like that. Don't allow your trial to bring that out of you. Job 42 reads, 1, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything. God can do what? Everything. And that no fault can be withholden. Right? Listen, from chapter 38 to chapter 42, God is speaking with Job. No man could reach Job. So God himself had to come and reach Job. Right? If you read about Elihu, Elihu is like a type of Christ because he comes in the whirlwind in God's stead, but that's not important. But even in Christ's stead, nobody could reach Job. So God said, I got to come down to solve this situation myself. Because Job was so self-righteous. But then after God asked reasons from Job from, I believe, chapter 38 all the way up to 42, finally Job gets it. Right? After God, now God had to reason with him for 4 whole chapters to help him see him. Lord, I just want to be right. You don't have to do anything to me, Lord. I don't want to fight you. I don't want to question you. Lord, just help me to accept the counsel of your will. Amen. He said, no faults can be withholden. So somebody said, I didn't say it. Well, what did it say? You what? Thought it, right? Yeah, come on, y'all talk to me. You didn't say it, but you what? But that thought could not be withholden or hid from God. So God knows what you are. And Job, not only did he think it, but he was glad on him to that. Because of Job, who Job was. Amen. Then, verse 3 says, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I understood not things that Job, when he finished talking to God, he said, God, you're just wonderful. Here I beseech thee, I will speak, I will demand of thee and declare thou to me. Job said, you know what, God, I've heard of you and what you do. He said, but now I see. Believe God. He said, but now my eyes see. He said, wherefore I abhor myself and repent and at least when Job saw himself, he did what? Repented. Amen. Right? The scripture we read earlier said, command the men everyone to do what? Repent. He said, when Job saw himself, after God finished reading with him, he repented and thus and asked. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, that the Lord said unto Eliphaz and Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken the things that is. God only wants us to do what is right. We speak a whole lot of things, but do we ever start saying, is it right or is it wrong? Do we speak a lot of things? Do we do what's right or do we do what's wrong? I believe verse 2 of this chapter, no, not verse 2, but in one of the verses, Job said he put his hand over his mouth. He said, I won't say another word. Right? That's when he finally realized. The problem is not God, the problem is the reason that we are still in some of the positions we're in is not because of God, it's because of us. Amen. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer him yourself a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray. When you get it right, you pray for somebody else.
Amen.
Now, who was really going through? Job. But in the midst of all this, Job does what? Prays for what? Prays for someone else. Say, he will pray for you, and I will, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have spoken not of me the thing which is right. So Eliphaz and the Temanite and Bildad and Zophar and did according to the Lord commanded them, and the Lord also, and after Job prayed, God turned the captivity of. But who was Job praying for? Nobody else. After he prayed for them, God turned his captivity and gave him more than he had before. That's good enough. As we all stand. So the challenge tonight is we have to decide, is my relationship with the Lord real or is it abstract? Abstract is based, as the elders and ministers come forth, abstract is based on my opinion and on my thinking and what I feel to be true. When it's real, we completely surrender to God. When it's real, we do what? Surrender. I wonder tonight, do we have a mind to surrender? We sing a song for the altar call many times. I surrender. I surrender all. It's time for us to completely surrender to God. It's time for us to say, Lord, no more of my will, but that thy will be done, thou art the anchor.
We say.